Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, so Al told me that we're on the air, or at least on the podcast. So here we go. Podcast Thursday. What's up?
Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah.
Interesting topic that came up on the Boomer and Geo show today. It was sent in by Pete Hoffman, midday show producer, and he asked Geo if he thought Boomer or Geo would go to BT or Sal's funeral if they passed away.
Why would he send that in?
I guess maybe they're covering that on the program today. I'm not sure, but it was a good question. And this is something I think about a lot, like when you don't go to funerals or wakes.
Sure.
And Boomer and Geo's take was, well, they both live in New Jersey now. So
that's a terrible take.
That'd be a tough one. But I think Geo said
Geo would go.
Geo would go, yeah.
100 times out of 100 he would go.
Yeah.
I don't care if Sal moved down to Tom's River, Geo would go.
Yeah, you gotta go.
He was his roommate, he was his friend. We can talk like that on the air. He would go.
Let me ask, would I go to that?
I have no idea. You'd be off the hook. You never really worked with Sal other than a couple of days here and there.
But
Gio and Sal were legitimate friends.
But I like Sal, and I work here.
Then you
here,
should go.
And it is in New Jersey.
I thought you were asking more, would you feel required to go?
Yeah, I was probably.
No, I don't think so. I think if you went, that would be great.
I think I would go to that. You know what? Where it gets the thing I always have a hard time with is if it's not the person itself, but someone close to a person I know.
Yeah, I think it depends
on who,
you know.
I think you're very good at going to wakes.
Well, because it doesn't take much.
No, I'm saying like you're very good at that. The man we call the architect, he's great at going to wakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's something about, are you Italian?
I am.
I think something in the Italian, like Italian people really respect the wake.
I hate the wake.
No, but I mean respect, even though you hate the wake, respect that it's the right thing to do going to the wake.
Maybe. And maybe subconsciously you're right. To me, it's more I think about the person that's, you know, the person I know that's dealing with the loss. Are they going to be, happy is not the right word. It's a terrible day. But are they going to be thankful that you showed up?
Yeah.
Just to say hello and see how they're doing. And, you know, like when Scott passed away a few weeks ago, a friend with ALS that we did the two golf tournaments for, I mean, there were so many people there. It was, I don't even want to call it a staying. It was literally a pass through. There was so many people. There was no room to even stand. Saw his wife, saw his kids, went up to the casket. I saw a couple of people in his family, talked for just a couple of moments. And then, you know, you were kind of out the door. You did what you did. Because there was no point in staying because all you were doing was taking up space for all the other people that were coming behind you as well. And it was, you know, they're tough. There's nothing good about them. I personally, and I probably should put this in my will, which me and my wife do have to amend at some point soon. I don't want one. And if I do have one, I want it closed. I don't like the idea of having someone just because it
disrespects. What, you want what closed?
The casket.
Oh, okay.
I want the casket closed and more of a, like the idea, I've always found it, you talk about showing respect. I've always found it very distasteful and disrespectful when someone is lying there in a casket, having expired, died, passed away, whatever, and people are yucking it up 15 feet from them. Close the casket then. You're there for that person for sure, and I have no issue with it being a celebratory mood, if you will, to celebrate their life, but don't do it while the guy's body or gal's body is just lying there.
Yeah.
Like when Joe Boylan, who used to be my partner for Rutgers, he was an older gentleman. He was an assistant coach at Rutgers in the 70s. I worked with him for 5 years. When he passed away, the way they did it, and I went all the way down to Cape May for his funeral wake, whatever, I don't even know what it was called. It was closed casket. It was a lot of memories about him all over the place. And people just talked about him and, you know, it didn't feel wrong. To me, when that casket's open, it just feels wrong.
I agree. A closed casket with a lot of nice pictures of you from over the years
should be sufficient.
Now, what I also think about that, though, you know what's weird, too? It's like someone passes away. Like, let's say someone very close to you passes away. And then it's like, oh, we got to now gather up all the photos. That seems tough.
Very hard.
That's a tough ask. For the family?
Sure. Well, you can put as many or as few out as you want.
Yeah.
You know, some people go all out and make photo boards, and it's got to be really hard to do in that time.
Has right, because like the family is going, okay, now we have to go through the photo. And now, like, we don't even have the photos printed.
No, you got to print them all out.
So you got to print them all out.
Yeah.
Going through digitally all this stuff seems strange. Yeah, I would like, I think I'm with you, like, close, although I wanted to be cremated. But I think they still give you a casket.
Of course you could.
And then nice, lovely photos of me through the years.
When a friend of mine's mom passed away last year, what they did, rather than print stuff out, the funeral home had TVs with digital photos rolling.
Oh, I like that.
And that was a very nice remembrance.
Could you make sure, Jerry, if I pass away before you, I took a nice picture.
That's not going to happen.
I took a nice picture with Jerry Seinfeld once. I would love to see have people see that.
Matter of fact, that's the only photo.
Just put up the picture of me. Here's what I want, Jerry.
Alan Jerry.
Me with Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Me with Tom Green.
Okay.
Me with Richard Lewis.
Gotta be one Boomer. Has to be.
Me with Boomer. Boomer and Geo. Boomer and Carton. You guys. The family, of course, Jerry.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other famous people.
We've not mentioned a photo with you and Whimsy yet.
Me and Whimsy, yeah, of course. Me on the field at Yankee Stadium, I think would be cool.
I have that great photo of you with the back.
Yeah.
From the behind, so you can see
that's
Dukes
a great one.
Your number and the stands. It's a very cool photo.
It's a great one.
I agree. It's a very cool photo.
I'm not one, you know, I live by myself, so it'd be weird to have pictures of myself on the wall, I think, is a little by myself.
Yeah.
But I do have a frame that has three photos in it that I look at as my favorite work photos or most unique. And it's the picture of me, I think, that you have of on the field at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
The picture of me, Craig, and Jerry Seinfeld. And then the picture of me singing on stage at the Beacon Theater.
Sure, yeah.
That was a cool one.
That's pretty good. Think about what you just said, me singing on stage at the Beacon Theater.
Yeah, that was cool.
That is very cool.
Me and the Allman Brothers, you know how we both do it.
When this is all done.
Yeah.
And I mean the show or our time here. I don't necessarily mean dying.
Not a wake or funeral.
Have you ever actually thought back to, and we're still in the middle of it, but all the cool things that we have been able to do? that, you know, one, that's pretty neat, but boy, you add them up. It's been pretty good.
Yeah, and when it gets to be a lot of years, you forget about some of them. You know, they pop up on those Google photo memories.
Yeah.
You go, oh, man, that was cool.
Forgot about that.
It's also weird, you know, when you're doing it for this, the show's been on the air for 18 years.
Yeah.
The ones that come up in Google memories of people who have passed. Like, there's a number of people that we've had over the, on the show over 18 years that are passed away, and their pictures come up sometimes, like Bob Saget and Richard Lewis. And
Richard Lewis died? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so those things pop up.
Yeah, reminders.
Reminders, indeed. I always wonder, too, though, like, you ever feel like, at some point, unfortunately, you know, we're getting old ourselves, Jerry. At some point, our parents will.
Of course.
Like, do you think Boomer's going to feel obligated to come to our parents' funerals?
No. Nope.
And would we expect him to?
No.
I would not.
No.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He didn't go. Did he go to Eddie's?
I'm not sure. Right, Eddie's dad passed away while we were here. Yeah,
and his mom.
That's an interest. And his mom also at the or.
I believe so.
While I was here.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Oh yes, because I that's where I met his dad.
Mm-hmm. See, I met his dad when I interviewed with him.
Yeah.
Back in like 1990.
Yes.
2000. I don't even know when it was. Maybe around 2000-ish. So,
because you know how like awkward I am in general, in public.
I do
things.
Yeah,
imagine somebody coming to the wake of a close family member of mine that I feel like, oh my gosh, they probably felt obligated to come, and then that will be an awkward interaction.
It doesn't have to be though, because if the person realizes that, if they're a fringe coworker or a fringe friend, it really should just be, you know, so sorry, you know, hang in there, pay your respects. And then I don't want to say your obligation, but you've done what you should do. Very nice.
Yeah.
You don't need to sit there and stare at one another. That to me is the worst.
They got Willa. They got my daughter. I need to find her. Willa!
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today. Experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17, unadmitted without parent. You can
hide. I tell you, the last wake I went to was my uncle's sister passed away.
Okay.
Now, I did not really know my uncle's sister because she lived somewhere else, but I knew her name and him referencing her. I scored so many points going to
for
that.
Sure, for going to that?
No one expected me to show up to this.
Well, you've got a reputation for wanting to do absolutely nothing every day. And everything's an inconvenience to you, even someone's death.
Correct. Right. Could they have passed on a different day? To the point where, you know, after you go to the wake, then there's the funeral and then the repast. And, you know, after the wake, and I was like, I'm not sure if my sister said to me, she goes, you've scored so many points. You don't need to go to the funeral. Then, you know, she called me later that day, my sister. Now, my sister went to the funeral and went to the repast. She goes, do you know the only thing people talked about was how nice it was that you showed up for the wake?
Boy, they really expect nothing from you.
They really don't. I really set expectations at an absolutely bare minimum.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Usually if I go to the wake, I don't go to the funeral. And if I miss the wake, I try to make it to the funeral.
Yeah. I always feel like if you had the choice that the wake, unless, you know, the funeral, if you're super close to the family, otherwise the wake, right? That's the...
See, I just think the other way.
Really?
Yeah, I think the other way. Only because, like you just said, if you're not very close to the person or the people you're going to see, I don't know, as opposed to just going and being there for the final.
But when you go to the funerals, I have not strangely been to a lot of funerals.
I have, sadly.
Been very fortunate. But I know there's that part where you take a flower and put it on, mm-hmm. on the grave or on the casket.
You can, right? Sure. It depends on the funeral, yes.
And I always imagine, like, the person in the casket be like, who's this guy?
They have no idea.
Like, who's this guy putting a rose on my head? I don't even know this guy.
They have no idea.
They don't?
No. They have no idea. Hmm. I was actually, it's crazy that this is your topic today, because I was watching Neil deGrasse Tyson came across my YouTube timeline yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was about disproving those that believe in God, and not in a disrespectful way. It was more he was guests on a few different programs, and they were asking him about people that believe in God as opposed to the science community. And he did one with Piers Morgan. Is that the guy, the British talk show host, where he's deeply religious and 100% believes in God? And his question to Neil deGrasse Tyson was, and this is, I think, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was essentially something like, you know, how did life begin? So Neil deGrasse Tyson gives this unbelievably intelligent, scientific answer. And it ultimately comes down to, as he points out, gases coming together and all that stuff and carbon. Okay. So at the end, Piers Morgan goes, where those gases come from? It's a bigger power. And all Neil deGrasse Tyson said, and I'm like, wow, that's a great response. But then the response to me was even better. He goes, you guys are funny. Every time science gives you proof of something, you move the goalpost back farther. He goes, you want to know this? We give you an answer. You go back further. We give you the answer. He goes, it takes time to get these answers. He goes, that's the only one we haven't figured out yet. So you just say it's God. Well, you thought this was God and that was God. Every time we go, he goes, we're back a billion years. Like, we're trying here.
You can go back to the very beginning of science and then say, well, God created that.
Yes, that's exactly his point.
That's a great
argument.
It's
a very good argument.
Yeah.
You know, it was an interesting watch, what I would say.
Yeah. It is funny how YouTube, you know, we know there's algorithms and what. It's funny when YouTube throws something at you from like 15 years ago. Like, this thing's been sitting on YouTube for 15 years and you've decided today's the day I need to see this.
So guess what popped up yesterday that I watched? 15 years ago? How about 19 years ago? 60 Minutes with Bill Parcells as he was named the Cowboys coach. With Mike Wallace. And I watched it. I didn't watch it.
I love the ones that you can see it was a VHS tape.
Yes, this was that.
Where it's, you see like the...
This was that. It goes to show, though, and this is certainly a knock against myself. I'm not claiming otherwise. You know, whether it's Charlie Kirk or any of these other Hot Topic items that you surprise me with on a daily basis between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, because I'm just perusing Twitter before we go on the air.
For sure. But even the Gary Cohen thing, which I saw the headline. I didn't watch that game live, so I didn't see it. And unfortunately, between 4 and 5, I have too much other stuff to do. I hadn't gotten to that other than the headline I saw. So, I don't have a good frame of reference to give you an answer, which I clearly didn't the other day. But my point is, like, none of that stuff comes up on my For You for Twitter. I get no politics on YouTube. I get nothing but Drew Pearson and NFL films. I get, you know, Patrick Cantlay hitting the driving range. I get how to invest your money in the S&P 500 properly.
Yeah, I like those.
Health and retirement videos. I don't get any of that stuff. But it's funny how it knows what you are watching and consuming.
Yeah. Yeah, I get more of the political stuff on Twitter for sure.
I'm sure.
My YouTube is still pretty good as far as like sending me cool stuff. Like, I'll get stuff like NFL highlights from week 3 in 1972. You're like, what is this? This is tremendous.
How about the full games that you can find now that YouTube started giving me full games? So they gave me one from, oh my God, was it 1986, Giants-Cowboys? I haven't watched it yet, but the Cowboys are in their blue uniforms at Giants Stadium. I didn't put it on yet. It's really cool. It is cool. But like even the Tylenol thing, which you're going to hear in a moment on the warm-up show, none of that. I didn't see any of it other than where we left it the day before with what Trump said about it. I didn't even realize there was an update and that was what was going on. But again, it goes to show how dumbed down what I watch is. It really is very mindless.
But I'm trying to figure out too, like now we have, as far as sports goes, like all the apps that have all the highlights and any game you want to that happened, you see the highlights, you could really figure out what's going on. And there are sometimes, like on a Sunday night, I'm like, okay, I have a full grasp of Giants and Jets, and I saw a bunch of stuff from the other games. I don't feel like I have a full grasp. And yet, when I was 15, 16, I felt like I had a full grasp on the entire NFL, but I probably didn't. Like, I was just getting small amounts of highlights, reading Sports Illustrated. Like, how did I feel like...
I think you read more.
I knew everything about the Falcons.
Yeah, I think exactly what you just said. You read more about it. It wasn't just constantly consuming it with video. So when you read more, you might digest it a little bit better, and it might stick a little bit. I will tell you, when I prepare for these games, the only way I remember anything is by writing it down and reading it. It's not, you know, like I can watch, for instance, I watched Jim Harbaugh yesterday. If you ask me what he said, I don't know, but I made notes, and that's how I remembered. That's how I remembered to go back and get the one clip this morning, because it stuck to me when he said, you know, Jackson Dart's got had the it factor. I was like, damn, I wrote that down as something to, I remember my notes. I don't necessarily remember what I watched.
They also say too that, you know, sometimes like students in school in particular now too, they'll have like a laptop or iPad, and that's how they'll take notes. And it's a lesser memory than if you handwrite the notes yourself.
Handwriting for me has always been better, which is why all of my game notes when I do games are still hand. People make fun of me, but it just works better for me.
Has your handwriting gotten worse over the years?
No, it's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Mine's gotten worse.
But I don't write in script either. I haven't used script since eighth grade. Didn't have to do it in high school, and I stopped it after eighth grade. So everything's been print.
Yeah, when I try to take notes for myself now, handwriting them, they look terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't have that issue. I don't think anyway. I've never struggled with doing a game, looking down for a quick note, and being confused by my own writing. Maybe I just know it better. Maybe you would think it's awful, but to me it's the same.
What do you write with?
It depends. If it is... So, for instance, the special teams sheet will be all in pen. Nothing's really going to change. Matter of fact, I left the kicking one for the Giants blank. I'll fill that in as soon as I know. I guess it's going to be cool, but I'll fill that in when I'm ready. The charts I will usually do in pencil, because as the game's going on, I'll try and erase an update. Why the special teams, I don't know. I just don't. But most of it's in pen. Some of it's in pencil. It depends on what it is exactly.
I love a Sharpie for everything.
Yeah, but the Sharpie, you got to be careful. If you don't get a fine one, the letters can get thick, and then you lose room on the page.
And I love a new Sharpie.
New Sharpies are good.
Plus, the other problem with the Sharpie, right, if you put your hand across, you might smear.
Yes. Very much so.
Thing. Do you have a favorite pen?
Nope. One that writes.
I do not picky.
I don't have a favorite pen. We have a drawer in the kitchen that's got about 100 pens
in it. Just random pens.
Yeah.
And you'll grab one.
Yes. Correct. And I sit there with my pencils, and I got the automatic sharpener. That's what I do. Yeah. I'll be doing a lot of that today, actually. I have a lot done already for Sunday, but I saved a good amount of work for today when I saw the forecast was terrible.
The pencils, those Fort Ticonderoga pencils?
They are. Yes, they are.
Those are the best.
It's funny that you remember Fort Ticonderoga.
The number two.
Yes.
Fort Ticonderoga pencil.
Ticonderoga.
Hmm.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. You get to do the Chargers-Giants game.
I mean, so you know what? I have a very cool stretch of the next 4 weeks where I've got Giants-Chargers play-by-play, Cowboys-Jets play-by-play, both at MetLife.
Back-to-back weeks, is that?
Back-to-back weeks. Then I get a week of Cowboys pre and post, where I go back to that for a week. And then I have a week off, I believe. Maybe not. No, I don't have a week off. Then I have Ohio State at Wisconsin.
Well, college football.
With Tiki again. So that's kind of fun. The fact that I'm doing, I got two games here in the next 4 weeks with Tiki, which is neat. And then I go to the Bahamas for a long weekend. That's my stretch.
For sports, or you're just going on vacation?
My son's 21st birthday.
Oh, nice.
So we're taking him to the Bahamas, and hopefully there's no hurricanes.
Yeah, I think, I guess it's still technically hurricane season. But yeah. I always feel like hurricanes is like August.
Maybe, but you can get them.
Yeah.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping for good weather. And then when I get back, it's essentially November and basketball season starts. And then I got the month of hell, November, where I think I am working in November. I think I'm working 17 games.
In November?
Between Compass and Rutgers, yeah.
Jerry.
It's a busy, it's a really stupid month.
Is Rutgers supposed to be good basketball-wise?
No, they're picked to be bad. But I actually think they're going to be, I think they're going
to
be good.
Because they lost their guys to the draft?
They only have four players back from last year, but that's like every college team these days. I think they've got some talent. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. But we'll see.
I'll probably make my way out there to one of those games.
Well, that would be nice of you. We'll make you a superstar.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
If I can get you on the board, Al Dukes from the Boomer and Geo Show.
Hi, everybody.
You would love to be. I can get that done.
Yeah.
I can get that done.
Yeah, like I see they put Pacheco up on the board sometimes.
He was a star running back there. Your girlfriend teaches there. Not quite the same thing.
That's very close.
Oh, yeah.
Very close.
It'd be great as if they put you on the board, and instead of they show you, they show Gina as the instructor at Rutgers.
I'll put my head right in front of her face. Look at me.
You would, too.
Look at me. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. We'll be back here tomorrow, 5 a.m. for a Friday football Friday. We'll see how the Mets and
cool
Yankees
games.
Did. Cool games. We'll see you tomorrow. See ya.
Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
ABC Wednesday, Shifting Gears is back.
He has arisen.
Tim Allen and Kat Dennings return in television's number one new comedy.
What?
With a star-studded premiere including Jenna Elfman, Nancy Travis, and...
Hey, buddy!
A big home improvement reunion.
Welcome.
Oh, boy.
That guy's a tool.
Shifting Gears, season premiere Wednesday, 8, 7 Central on ABC, and stream on Hulu.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.